PQ Baraboo.
W279 EG Reedsburg.
We take you live to First United Church of Christ in Sauk City for the Sunday morning worship service.
Good morning, everybody. We're going to begin this morning with the announcements we have for this week, and Rose has them for us.
Good morning. This morning's liturgist is Peggy Ganser. And people must have a lot of birthdays all in a row. So our radio sponsors this week are Stephen Marcy Thurwachter, in our honor of Charles Stiber's birthday on Wednesday, March 13th. Sharon Kelsey and Owen Deal, in loving memory of Greg's birthday. And Nettie Gander, in loving memory of Larry's birthday. We thank all of them and we'll remember them. First UC is set up for delivering mobile meals next week, March 18th through the 22nd, and a sign-up sheet is in the narthex. We'd love it if you could sign up and help us out. It'd be great. It's only 5 days this spring. The Sunday School is asking for help. They are collecting monetary donations for Mabel's building mission. This organization was founded for the purpose of building homes for the poor in Nuevo Progreso, Mexico. Please see the March edition of The Scoop. For any details, check out the table up front, and I believe Margaret is going to be talking about it today. Our Stock the School campaigns are suggested for March are Ritz-type crackers, soap, and women's and men's deodorant. Donations can be dropped off in the red bucket Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to noon. The bucket's outside. We have two more Wednesdays of our Lenten soup and bread supper. And since you have to eat, please join us in the fireside room at 5:30. Adult Bible study will be in the educational building kitchen for the next two Sundays. And that's all I have.
Thank you, Rose. Well, good morning again. Grace, peace, and welcome to you all on this fourth Sunday in Lent. Happy to have you here by whatever means you come, here in the sanctuary, on our YouTube channel, listening on the radio. We're always happy to have you along. I get to give you, again, the welcome this church sends out to the whole world, this week's version of that welcome. From the book of Romans, accept one another just as Christ accepted you. First United Church of Christ, Sauk City, is an open and affirming congregation. We have witnessed the inclusive love of God in Jesus, and we seek to be an expression of that love. So we welcome everyone into our covenant to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly in the way of Jesus. Whoever you are, whatever brought you here, however you identify, whomever you love, whatever your circumstances, every part of you is precious to God, and all of who you are is welcome here at First United Church of Christ. So now, settle into the seat where you're sitting, take a deep breath, close your eyes if you would like to, Become aware as you breathe that you are breathing in the presence of God. As Peggy leads us in the call to worship, would you please stand if you're able?
Please join with me in the call to worship. With friends and strangers, with family and neighbors, we gather.
Come among us, God, with the love which never ends.
With faith reaching out to touch, with hearts straining to trust, we hope. With word and wonder, with silence and song, we wait.
Come on, dryer of our tears, to lift us to our feet, to follow you.
Our first song this morning is a new one to me and probably to you. The tune for this song is number 4 in your hymnal if you want to follow along there. But this is Sing a New World into Being.
Find a tune for silent yearning.
Would you join me, please, in our morning prayer? Gracious God, we are a people created by your love, formed by the words of Jesus, and breathed into life by your Spirit. In your grace, we are whole, but sometimes we wander from wholeness. Sometimes we seek light in darkness. May your ever-present Spirit shake us when we need shaking, hold us together when we are coming apart, and shape us more each day into the people you want us to be, we pray. Amen. Here is the gospel, the good news for you this morning. God loves this world. God has redeemed this world. God is remaking this world. In this, we are being made whole. And for this, we say out loud, thanks be to God. Be seated, please. Here is the mystery of this table, what I most love about standing here on Sunday mornings. Jesus once told his disciples that whenever two or three of them would gather together, he would be there with them. And then when he gathered them together for that last time, for that last meal, he took a loaf of bread and gave it to them. He offered them a cup to share. And then he said, as often as you do this, you will remember me. And here's the thing. I don't think Jesus meant when he said this that we would simply call him to mind like we had forgotten him. He meant that we would be remembered, reconnected with him. He meant that all the breaks in our relationship that had happened in the past week would be repaired, the wounds healed, the cracks filled in. The mercy and grace that we had turned away from would be offered to us again mercifully and graciously. The communion meal, you see, ushers us into the community of Jesus' people, but even more importantly, into the company of Jesus himself. I don't know how this works. It is pure mystery to me. Some days I don't even believe it, but every week I try to trust it. Because if anything about our faith is true, it is this. When we gather to eat and drink together at this table, Jesus joins in to eat and drink with us. In the way that only God can make spiritual things more real than the pews you were sitting on this morning, Jesus is here, sharing this bread and this cup, offering us the remembering, the repair, the reconnection that we so desperately hunger for. Who knows how many Sundays any of us have left on this earth? For my part, I hope that on every single one of them, I will stand with my family and friends in the presence of Jesus around this table and be in the presence of the one who knows our names, remembers our faces, and loves us more than we could ever imagine. So we remember that night he sat at table with his friends before they betrayed him, how he took a loaf of bread and he blessed the bread and he broke it and he gave it to them and he said, take and eat. This is my body, it is for you. When you eat, remember me. After supper, he took a cup and he blessed that and gave it to his friend, saying, take and drink. This cup is my blood of the new covenant poured out for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you drink, remember me. So acknowledging the mystery of our faith, that Christ has died, but Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Come now to the table. Everything is ready. Would you pray with me, please? Holy One, we have come to this table because we are hungry for your presence and because you have promised to be here with us. For this gift that has been given We are grateful, and we thank you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. We have something special for the kids this morning. Mrs. McFarland is going to tell you a story and show you some pictures. It's all yours, Margaret. Come on up, everybody.
Good to have you. Come and join me. A little different today. You'll have to be patient. I'm not as good as Pastor Brad at this. But I'm happy to see you today. Have a seat. Get comfortable. Right. In a minute, I might have you move so you're really comfortable and you can see the screen. And if any of you can't see the screen, this would be a great time to move. So, feel free to move so you can see. I had asked Pastor Brad if I could share some information about our Sunday School's Lenten project, Mabel's Building Mission. And if you were here at Sunday School a couple weeks ago, we talked about it a little bit. It used to be called the Mexican Children's Refuge, but the name was changed, so now we call it Mabel's Building Mission. And I thought that some of our newer members and some of our newer Sunday School students may not have heard about Mabel's before, so this was a good time to fill people in. Well, during Lent, some people give things up, but our Sunday School, we don't give something up, we take something on. We take on a worthy project, and so we are collecting donations for Mabel's, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about it, and we've got some pictures up on the screen, so can you see them? Leo, can you see the screen okay that way? Okay, perfect. All right, want to make sure you can see the pictures. Well, Mabel's Building Mission was started by a very generous lady named Mabel. And in 1967, she opened a clinic to help the needy in Nuevo Progreso, Mexico. Her success led her to build a school for the children, and eventually she expanded the building. She expanded into building houses for those who couldn't afford to build a house on their salary. So let's take a look here. Here's some of the shelters that people lived in. Some people lived with their relatives, some people rented, and some people lived in these makeshift homes. Doesn't look like my house. How about yours? All right, I think what made this project a passion for our Sunday School was because, as you see on the screen, Pastor Herb and his wife, Bev Fire-Robin, he was a retired pastor, part of our church family. They were involved in the leadership of building projects for many years. During the winter months, when they were retired, the Fire Robins would leave Wisconsin and go to enjoy the warmer weather in Texas. Their winter retirement was an RV park in Mission, Texas. So with a group of friends from the park, the Fire Robins would travel across the border into Mexico to build houses for Mabel's Building Mission. The volunteers that helped with the building were retirees, that means people that are retired like them, that lived in the Canyon Lake RV park. Through the efforts of this dedicated group, they would replace the structures that are made of cardboard, flour sacks, tarps, and anything else they could find for protection. The homes that are built are small. They're only 12 feet by 16, but the families are thrilled to have a space to call their own, and it also provides them shelter. The homes have one door and only two windows. How many doors at your houses? Do you have more than one door? Yes. Do you have more than two windows? Yes. Is your home bigger than that? Yes, yes. Many of us, our garages are bigger than that. They are thrilled with that home. The homes used to cost $750, but now they're approximately $2,000, which is what the materials cost. All the labor is voluntary, and the group builds about 15 to 20 homes per winter. With each home, they give the families items such as a Spanish Bible, a bench, a box of food, some blankets, some clothing, and some pots and pans. Herb and Bev organized the building groups and would arrange for the building sites to get a concrete base. So instead of the homes being on a dirt floor, they were able to make a concrete base, set up building dates, purchase and haul the lumber and materials that they needed across the border into Mexico, and organize the working crew. Over the many years that our church has participated with the Sunday school to help the people in Nuevo Progreso, we have made many special connections. One year, our Sunday school wrote little Christian notes of love, and we sent them to the children with a Beanie Baby for each. We also collected backpacks one year for the children, and our Sunday school also wrote little thank you notes to the volunteers and the Fire Robins. When the Fire Robins came back into Wisconsin in the spring, we often presented them with a check with our donations. And there we see that was our 2003 Sunday school group. And I see Diana Werpel's grandkids. I see Kelsey Deal. I see a lot of familiar faces. Tammy Young's kids. So back in 2003, that was our group, and we collected money for Mabel's. So we have been doing this for quite a while. Some of our members, our past members, have traveled to Nuevo Progreso to help with the mission. Jan and Cliff Lawton, and Jan was in the second row, and she and Cliff went for a number of years. She's in the second row on the left there. There's Jan, and Cliff's right behind her. And then also Ted and Cleo Harris, there's Ted, and John and Dana G with the Fire Robins, and Rod and Carol with the Fire Robins. And we thank all those people for their time and energy to go to Mission Texas and to go across the border to Mexico and help out with Mabel's. You know, when I was putting this together, it made me realize again how blessed we are. The families are so grateful that Mabel's can help them move from their rugged shelters, and the volunteers also supply new outhouses for them. So even without the luxuries we have, like electricity and running water and homes with more than one room, the children and the people are very happy. Donations from our Sunday school and church have built approximately 23 homes throughout the years. So just us, just our church, 23 homes. The Fire Robins always share their gratitude with photos of the homes we build. Pastor Herb passed away in 2020, but his work is carried on. Bev resides in Texas during the winter, and we know she's sharing her expertise and the love for this work as they are finishing their 600th home. So Mabel's building mission built 600 homes. Other churches like ours continue to support this mission. Now, what can we do? First of all, we can pray. We can pray for the families and the volunteers that help them. And we can tell other people, because that helps to spread the word. And if we are able to donate, that's great too. All those things are necessary. Now, yesterday I came in, and you probably noticed something different up here. I put some tape on the floor. And it's to signify some boundaries. So one's over by Leo, and one's over here by Aria. And then if we can imagine a boundary in the back going across by the organ pipes, and one across here to connect our X's of tape. That is the size, approximately, as best as I could do, 12 feet by 16 feet. And why is that important? Why would I put the tape up to show you 12 by 16? Something that I told you about, Penny. That's perfect. That's the size. 12 feet by 16 feet is the size of the houses. Okay, stand up for a minute. If you're not standing in my house, come on up and stand in the house. Leah, can you move over? There you go. Stand up in my house. All right. So it's after school, and you're going into the house, and you're going to read a book. You're going to take a little break. But you have siblings in there, brothers and sisters. It's noisy. Let's go to a different room, right? Can we go to a different room in this house?
Yeah.
In this house? In my house, I bet in your house you can. In this house, can we go to a different room? No, because it's one room. We can't. All right, so you're trying to get to sleep, and what if Georgia is crying? Yeah? Then you want to go, Mom, take Georgia to a different room. I can't sleep. What can Mom do or Dad do? No, so try to get the baby quiet so you can get to sleep. Think about that. This is your house, this room. So if somebody's irritating you or something's upsetting you, you have to go outside. All the things that we take for granted, a lot of these things the people don't have. The big one is electricity and the water that, like you said, that's a luxury. That's something great for us, right? No electricity. So all the things you did that you needed electricity to get here today, like I needed my blow dryer, I needed my curling iron, I needed to put my toast in the toaster, my husband made eggs on the stove, all those things couldn't happen in this house. They don't have electricity. And I mentioned that one slide that the people also built outhouses for them. So that means there's no inside bathrooms. So they go out to the outhouse. Boy, we're blessed, aren't we? All the things that we have. Sit down for a minute. You're great participants. I'm going to squeeze back over here. Thank you. Well, we're going to say a prayer, and then it'll be time for Sunday school. So Mrs. Homar is going to meet you in the back after the prayer. Remember, we're going to walk out nicely in our line, and I will meet you upstairs. All right, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we give thanks for the Christian service that Pastor Herb and Bev and the volunteers have given to Mabel's building mission. Watch over the volunteers that continue to build the homes and be with the families as they work to provide for their children. Help us to be the hands of you, God, with our gratitude and love. Amen. And I see that Cliff and Jan are here. How many years can you wave your hand at Cliff and Jan so they know who you are? If anybody has a question, you can ask them. How many, do you know about how many years that you went down to help? Okay, 5 or 6 years. Do you have any questions for them? What they saw, what they did? Well. All right, well, you were great listeners. First, we need to say thank you to Scott and Evan up there in the tech room that helped us out with the slides today. And you know what? Mrs. Fire Robin Bev, so Pastor Herb's wife that I talked about in the slides, she said to say hi to all the people in the congregation. And she said also that she watches the service on YouTube in Texas. So how about you join me and we'll say thank you and God bless to Bev. Are you ready? Thank you. God bless you. Hugs and our love, Bev. Thanks for all you do. All right. Thank you, friends.
Our first scripture reading is from Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 31. He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting in money in the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had and all she had to live on. This ends our reading.
Thank you, Peggy. Our second reading for this morning comes in two parts. The first part is not a scripture reading, but it might have been had it been written 2,000 years ago. This is a poem that I've read here before, but it struck me this week as one that gave that fits well with the meaning of the story that we're reading for today. The second half of my reading this morning will be to repeat Peggy's story from the Gospel of Mark, but in a different version. So this poem is called The Avowal by Denise Levertov. As swimmers dare to lie face to the sky and water bears them, as hawks rest upon air and air sustains them, so would I learn to attain free fall and float into Creator Spirit's deep embrace, knowing no effort earns this all-surrounding grace. And then to reread Mark 12:41-44 from the Message. This story is set up where Jesus and his disciples were in one of the temple courtyards where they were watching people bring their offerings to the treasury for the support of the temple operation. Sitting across from the offering box, Jesus was observing how the crowd tossed money in for the collection. Many of the rich were making large contributions. One poor widow came up and put in two small coins, a measly 2 cents. Jesus called his disciples over and said, "The truth is that this widow gave more in the collection than all the others put together. All the others gave what they will never miss. She gave extravagantly what she couldn't afford. She gave her all." Now, here's one thing I want to say about this story before we continue. The text we are reading this morning was not written for a stewardship Sunday. The story is not about money. It is about something much more beautiful and more deeply true. So this will not be a stewardship sermon. I will not be telling you to empty your pockets into the collection plate when it comes around. So relax. Take a deep breath and pray with me, please. May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. She came to the temple, a very poor widow. She left even poorer. She came with a penny. She left flat broke. If she had a house to go home to, and there's no guarantee that she did, she went home hungry and alone. She had given everything away, all she had to live on. You think we have troubles? This woman had troubles. What in the world could she have been thinking? Why would she do this? Why would she give away even the possibility of a meager supper? What was she thinking? Well, I don't really know what she was thinking, but I can tell you what she was doing. When she dropped her last 2 coins in the plate, she was loving. She was loving God with her whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and she was loving her neighbor, a neighbor she would likely never meet or see, even more than she loved herself. When she dropped those coins into the collection, she was leaning back into the deep embrace of her Creator, like a swimmer lying face to the sky and the water, like a hawk floating on the air that sustains her. Or to put that another way, When she dropped her last two coins in the offering plate, she was engaging in an act of deep trust, a deep hope that God would take care of her, a trust that God's goodness and generosity would provide for her. She went away very poor, probably very hungry. There was no obvious light shining at the end of her tunnel. But in her trouble, she had found a way to hope and to trust that she was loved. She looked deeply into herself to find a spiritual center, and there she found the one who would hold her safe. Someday, maybe, I will be like this woman. Someday, maybe I will live in that hope and live out that trust. Most days, that's not the way I see the world yet. Maybe someday. But this woman has become my inspiration and guide to that someday. She shows me, she shows all of us, that a radical trust in the goodness of God is possible. In the darkest of times, in the deepest of troubles, in face of the worst of our fears, trust is possible. Because God is with us, and we are never alone. The first creation story in Genesis 1 describes God speaking us into existence. Speaking, of course, requires breathing. And in the Hebrew language in which this story was written, the word for breath and the word for spirit are one and the same. Breath is spirit. Spirit is breath. And so when God speaks, let us make humankind in our image, and we become the divine spirit. This creating breath is the stuff of which we are made. So we are, in a manner of speaking, not only made by God, we are made of God. The core of our humanness, the core of all reality for that matter, is not matter, it is spirit. The second creation account in Genesis 2 frames the story a little differently. Here, the human is not spoken into being, but is rather shaped into the form of a person by God's own hands, shaped from the soil that is the seedbed of all life. And then the Creator breathes God's breath into this human form. God inspires this handmade human. And then, only then, with that spirit in this human being, does the human become a living thing. The Spirit of God breathed into the human form, you see, is life. Life and consciousness and love are not simply biological or biochemical processes. As wonderful as those processes might be, life is more, more mysterious, more wonderful. The core of our being, this story tells us, the very center of our human experience, the deepest part of who and what we are, is not material, it is spiritual. We breathe because of God, and in another manner of speaking, we breathe God. So when we say, as we sometimes do, that God is as near as our next breath, we may be speaking quite literally. Now, both of these creation accounts in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 are, of course, stories. They are not intended to be read as historical records of how we came to be. They are rather metaphors, or better, perhaps they're poetry, meant to help us contemplate what we really have no firsthand experience of, things that will be forever beyond our grasp. As I was thinking about all of this over the past week, two things began to surface for me from within the story of the poor widow that I hadn't thought about before. Reading the opening of the book of Genesis and the Gospel of Mark in the same week, brought me to this. First, if God is going to be God, that godness is going to be mysterious to us, mysterious and distant beyond even our understanding or certainly our imagination. And second, if God is going to be God, that godness will always be present and findable, as present and as constant as our breath. Godness, you see, is form of our own spiritual center. God will, at one and the same time, be the distant mystery we will never understand and the intimate breath that gives us life. It seems to me, you see, that the poor widow in Mark's story knew, or better, she felt this. She felt the truth of both of these statements, the mystery of God's distance and the mystery of God's presence. It is very likely she would have heard and internalized those creation stories, because she would have heard them often in the synagogue services, or maybe from passing rabbis who told these stories and retold these stories as they taught. So I imagine her, as a poor and destitute as she was, contemplating how she herself was formed in the image of God, that even she was born of the Spirit of God, was made alive by that Spirit with each breath she took. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if through these contemplations she came to see her own infinite value, a value that in the eyes and heart of her Creator far, far exceeded the contents of her purse. Perhaps in the beauty and truth of these creation images, she found her own spiritual center. Perhaps she found her place in the heart of God and felt God's heart beating inside her. Perhaps she found that center where she could live without fear, face hunger without hope, or with hopefulness, and hold the assurance that even as a widow, she would never be alone. And this is how this brief little story of this widow becomes for all of us, she becomes a mentor and a guide for the church. I've read a lot over the last few years about the future of the church. And a lot of these essays talk about how we can save the church. Save it in the sense of restoring it so that our buildings are preserved, our budgets are met, and our pews are full like they were in the good old days. But much of this, it has seemed to me, has been a misguided, barking up the wrong tree kind of talk. The world doesn't need us to save the church. What the world needs, what the world has always needed from the beginning, is people who find their way to their own spiritual center where their greatest need is met by God's deepest grace. What the world needs is people who find that center and then spend their lives exploring it, going deeper into it. People who find the Spirit's breath to speak and to speak out the words of God. Words of kindness and generosity and grace. Words of hope and promise. Words spoken to their family and friends, to neighbors and strangers, and when a real miracle happens, spoken even to their political and mortal enemies. I don't think when Jesus commended the poor widow for giving extravagantly what she could not afford, that he was endorsing poverty. He wasn't glad she was going home hungry. I think rather that he was commending to his disciples and to us a hope and a trust that can be found deep inside of each of us, a hope that can give us the courage can give us the courage to face the loss of all things, a trust. If we do not lose, if we do lose everything, the mysterious heart of the divine that holds us, the breath of the Spirit that brings us to life, is still and always will be with us. So it might be, you see, because this is the way these stories work, that when the church finally learns to let go of everything that we thought was giving us life, we will find ourselves in the place where we can learn to breathe again. Amen. This is our time to join together with our own concerns. Do we have somebody who can handle? Demi, thank you. Who or what are we praying for today?
Well, I want to thank Mark for her presentation this morning. On Saturday morning at 5:30, my washing machine started coming up coming up through my toilet and shower. So I called the management right away. I own the house, but not the land. And so this weekend I was told not to use water, really. So that's been fun. And then she shows us these homes. And you all saw the homes that they lived in before they had the concrete home built. And what I kept thinking about every time I couldn't flush the toilet or do those things, I kept thinking about the kids in Palestine. And so I want to say that I'm so very, very grateful for running water, for electricity, things that I most always take for granted.
And isn't it true that the things we always take for granted are not just ours to have, they are the right of every person who lives. Everyone should have clean water and working plumbing. Thank you, Tamara. Ryan.
I would like to pray for Elijah Vu, the young boy who went missing 2.5 weeks ago from Two Rivers, Wisconsin. Both of his parents are in jail facing child neglect, and for the hundreds of volunteers who go out into the woods every single day looking for basically a needle in a haystack and have never given up hope. So please pray for Elijah to be found safe and return to people who actually are going to love him and give him what he deserves in life.
Thank you, Rhonda. Over to Peggy.
Well, I just want to say that I went to visit two of our, I should say senior people, but one was up in Akano Falls, which is Nettie Gander, and she just turned 90 and she looks wonderful. She's doing wonderful and she's in a wonderful place. So I hope others can get up there and see her. She misses her, I think her church family, and we miss her too, but she's doing really well. And then I got to see our 105-year-old Emily. I'm not going to say her last name. I never say it right. But I see these two wonderful ladies, and they just, you know, they're just remarkable. They're just wonderful, you know, people. And I guess I can see God in their eyes, too. And then there's one other person that I will miss terribly, and he's having his memorial services next Saturday, Ted Larson. I enjoyed seeing him over the years, and he was just a very precious person, and I do miss him, and I'm sure his family does, but he's with his Millie, and that's all that he always wanted. But we do have wonderful members and that we don't see every day, but I enjoy visiting, so that makes me feel really good. So thank you.
Thank you, Peggy. Emily's last name is Novotny, right? And Ted's memorial will be held here in the sanctuary this Saturday. Over to Shirley.
I was really moved in the slides by all of the retirees that spend their time working to build these houses, and how grateful I am for that generation. I think of my parents when they first moved to Prairie du Sac. They right away got involved at St. Vinny's, which is also pretty much run by retirees who volunteer there. And I hope and pray that my generation will be as generous with time and talent as they have been. But I'm just very grateful for those that volunteer like that and just are so so giving of their hearts and hands.
Yeah, thank you. We will hold all of these in prayer together and then conclude with the prayer that Jesus taught us. So would you pray with me, please? God, first and always, we are full of gratitude for the beauty of this earth, for the generosity that comes from you and is manifested in those of us who do the work of caring for others, those who search for what needs to be found, those who give of their time to make the lives of others better. God, we thank you that this can happen, that you give us strength and energy and compassion to do what needs to be done. We are grateful for all the pieces and parts of this church family, all the variety of people that you have given to us. Call us always to be together, to care for each other, to love each other, to miss them when they're gone, to mourn them when we lose them. God, all of this arises out of your gracious gift of your love and your generosity, and for this we thank you. And now hear us as we pray together the words Jesus taught us when he said, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Our invitation to our offering this morning is not in Jeremiah 7, 7 through 9. I put that wrong text in there. This is the first psalm, Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. "Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or take the path that sinners tread or sit in the seat of scoffers. For their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in season, and their leaves do not wither. In all they do, they prosper." We will receive a morning offering at this time.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plentiful sunshine today, upper 40s in the afternoon with a light northwest wind. Clear in upper 20s tonight. On Monday, sunny skies will reach the mid-60s in the late day. Southwest winds will stay on the light side. Do you need help with back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. It's 30 at our studios.